July 27, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we will study from Psalm 69. To the chief musician, set to the lilies, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. As I have mentioned before, this is a psalm of King David, but it is also a prophetic psalm which describes the tribulations of Jesus as the king, as well as what we would experience in our life in our lives as a Christian. Jesus quoted David's psalm in many places, including his time on the cross. David described it. He describes his situation as deep water and overflowing flood. As you know, water also represents the spirit. So David is also describing the spiritual flooding. And although I have never seen the movie Passion, which is supposed to depict the suffering of Jesus, Passion is also intense overflow of the spirit. So where did this overflowing spirit come from? They originated from Satan, and the public was just engulfed by it. That's what it says in the Bible, so we should expect that this will be our experience too in the end time, during the tribulation era, which would last for 3.5 years, the same length of Jesus' ministry on earth. So the same tribulation Jesus experienced for doing God's work will also be experienced by many Christians. But the story will not end there, since we will also be crowned with honor from God. I am warning you now, so that when the time comes, no one will say, I never knew that. So be prepared. Job said that he was born naked and that he would leave naked. And this nakedness not only indicates clothes you wear, the nakedness is about having the earthly fame and reputation stripped away from him, just like what happened to Jesus. He was even counted as one of the criminals. His reputation was not restored in his lifetime. He died defamed. And I expect this is what would happen to Christians too. People will scorn you and say bad thing about you, but we should know that this is given, and this is what happened to Christ. From verse 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me. Being my enemies wrongfully, though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. This last verse is about the debt and also sins of people. There is a story of a servant with debt of 10,000 talents, and his debt was forgiven by his master, but the servant did not forgive his own friend's smaller debt, so the master got angry and the debt of 10,000 talents came back to him. The lesson of this story is that you need to forgive your brother's sin, so David saying that he must restore the money he has not stolen can also mean that him being held accountable for the sins of other people and not of his own. Well, this is exactly what happened to Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 26:59. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. So Jesus was accused for the crimes that he never committed. Even Pilate admitted that Jesus was innocent, and he washed his hands in front of the people. Although this is a story of Jesus, his 3.5 years will be repeated by Christians in tribulation era. Even in the book of Daniel, he talks about the 70 weeks, and the last half week is about the end time. Half of a week is 3.5 days. So this could mean 3.5 years. So please be aware that being accused for things that you have never done is also what might happen in the end time. People might accuse me for stealing carrots, for example, which is not possible because I hate carrots. Because several witnesses might come forth to testify that I did steal the carrots, and that kind of thing might happen. When things like that happen, our fleshy reaction would be to find a lawyer and fight back, but Jesus did not answer anything, as written in the book of Matthew, so we have to follow Jesus if we find ourselves in a similar predicament, because the Bible says that we obtain the reward, the eternal life, by endurance. But if we give up and then snap at people and saying that you will give up on God, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. As we see in Job, we all came here naked and we will leave here naked. So the dress you wear is of course a part of it, but Jesus even lost his last garment. And he lost his reputation and earthly honor. If we try to hold on to the earthly things, the enemy can use that to pull you off the path, and you might not be able to endure it, and then you might not be able to receive the reward of eternal life. Some years ago, I was writing articles on the internet, and then people who used to come to this church started criticizing me on the internet, and because of that, many other people left the church, and I was so upset, and I almost wanted to write him back, but the Lord stopped me. He reminded me that if I really needed to care about people's reputations and opinions. And sometimes we enjoy good reputation, fame, and honor, and sometimes we don't have any of them. But they're all earthly and temporary things, and we all need to leave them here when we depart from this life. So that was a good experience. Maybe I might have told you this, but to catch a monkey, they put a mango in a vase. And when the monkey grabs the mango, and he cannot get the mango out of the narrowed opening of the vase, but he does not want to let go of the mango, so his hand is trapped. And that's how a monkey can be captured. We should not be so. Release it and let go of earthly things. Going back to the Psalm, verse 5. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel, because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Being reproached for God's sake and being alienated from his brothers is also what happened to Jesus. So if we apply that in our life, it is possible that our sisters and brothers from church might also leave us and alienate us when the tribulation comes. Verse 9, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. This is quoted in the New Testament. Let's look up John 2:14. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. As you see, people were selling things in the temple. The opposite of selling is purchasing, which is redemption. God and his son Jesus did that for people. Jesus paid the price and purchased our lives back. But here, people at the temple are selling sheep and doves and clean animals. And clean animals, clean sheep, represents Christians. And the temple, which is the church, is selling the sheep out instead of purchasing their lives back. One example is the Catholic Church requiring people to confess all of your sins to priests. Or for pilgrimage, they cannot just walk, but you have to walk on their knees. So those who really take it seriously would walk on their knees, bleeding from their knees. They ask people to do impossible things, and instead of saving and buying back people's lives, they sell out people's lives with their traditions and rules. And they think they're serving God, but the reality is they're selling people out and turning people away. And as for the money changer, that this represents those who change the value of the currency, like changing dollar to yen. Money is to buy things, and here a money changer changes the price of God's salvation. God's salvation is free, but they impose the price you cannot pay, like you have to walk on their knees or you have to confess your sins to another human being. So Jesus made a whip of cord and expelled those people from the temple, and although it seems violent, that is how Jesus handled such abomination. So we need to openly criticize and expel those abominations from the church. We are followers of Jesus, so we need to handle matters in the way God handled things. Verse 10 to 12, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gates speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkard. From verse 13 to 15, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy. Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink, and let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. And again the water is mentioned. One thing we need to be aware is that in the end time, the Christian community will be flooded with the spirit of deception. In the deception, many Christians will persecute the righteous brothers in the name of God. It says that in the book of Revelation. From verse 16, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. This I want you to take note. My adversaries are all before you is exactly what happened to Jesus. The persecution did not come from foreigners like Greeks. The persecution came from those who were already standing in front of God, which was the Pharisees, lawyers, and the scribes. This will repeat itself. Such persecution of righteous Christians will come from those who are already standing in front of God. Verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. This is what happened to Jesus. All the disciples left him, and even Peter denied Jesus when asked by a female servant, whether Peter was one of them. This will also happen to Christians, and that's when our endurance is put to the test. Verse 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And this also happened in the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew 27:34. They gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink. This gall is mentioned in the book of Acts. You know the story of Simon the sorcerer in Samaria? When he tried to pay Peter to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter said, "For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." This word bitterness and the gall, which was mixed with sour wine, Jesus, was the same word in Greek. As a Christian, we ought to have a communion as described in the Bible, which is breaking of the bread and drinking the wine. We should not give nor partake wine mixed with bitterness or vinegar in front of God. Because the bitterness and gall is our sins, we should not preach it nor we should partake it. When the Catholic Church says there is no hell, that message is mixed with sin. Bitterness is mixed with bread, which is the Word of God, a sinful bread. Or the teaching of purgatory or second chance for salvation, none of them are in the Bible. They teach that There is a purgatory between heaven and hell, and even if you don't do so well in this life, if you do well in purgatory, you will have a chance to go to heaven. And it sounds very good, but there is no mention of it in the Bible, so those who believe in the purgatory and live a sinful life thinking that he could make it up for it later will find himself in a lake of fire. Verse 22, let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. This is also mentioned in the book of Romans 11:9. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. This table means a table of communion, which is the church service. So it says that the church service can become a trap and stumbling block. Brethren, affiliated church is a good example. They are deceived by the wrong doctrine. They deny the work of pastor in the church. They believe in an equality of everyone so that they have no leader and they have no preaching. Instead, they have several brothers who read the Bible and randomly speak whatever they want to speak. So there was no solid teaching in that church. But no one get blessed by that. So their doctrine was choking their own relationship with God. And since they think other churches are all deceived, they cannot switch to other churches. And they're all traps. I was trapped there before. But God saved me out of this deception. I think this deception comes from pride. Because they think that they're better than others and then they are the only one with the truth. Such pride will cause them to stumble, and that's why it says the table become a snare and a trap. Verse 23 to 28, let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents. For they persecute the ones who have struck, and take of the grief of those who have wounded, and iniquity to their iniquity. And let them not come into your righteousness, and let them be blotted out of the book of living, and not be written with the righteous. This all happened to Jesus, and will repeat itself again in the end time. Verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with loving kind, with thanksgiving. And this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you will seek God, and your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it, and also descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. I love the last passage that says the servants of God will inherit Zion. Christianity is opposite of the world. Servant is better than the master. In the kingdom of God, everything is the opposite. Those who serve the Lord has the highest prize in God's kingdom. So even if they confess Christ with their mouth, if they don't have the hearts to serve, such person will not inherit the kingdom. We have to remember that serving is the most important attitude in the kingdom of God.